Hey, we're talking about big butts of the Bible. And that's something I've been wanting to do for 25 years of ministry and finally doing it. And it's happening at one of the most crazy times in the world where people are saying, but God. And we're trying to say in the Bible, there's but God, like, but God's got this figured out. But God has this handled. But God has a plan for it. And often we're focused on the wrong but. And it's real common for us. We're going beyond normal this year in 2021 because we're so constantly wanting to get back to normal, and that's a moving target. What was normal and what was acceptable for me even 5 years ago, much less, you know, with the way the world has been 5 months ago, I have to have something that lasts and something that's better and something that is true salvation, and so do you. And so we've looked at the fact that God's strategy is different than ours. And I would love to unpack all that for you and talk about Joseph, but I really can't. And so we looked at how God's love is different than ours. It's lasting and it's powerful, and it is the kind of love that lays itself down knowing that it could never, ever be defeated. We looked at how God's kingdom is different than ours. And I don't know if you know this, but you and I have this innate fallen desire to be the king or the queen of the kingdom. We constantly will ask God to do things, and you can find good Bible that says bring prayer and petition and tell him your heart, and that's really, really good. But often we're praying to God trying to get him to do what we want him to do. Hey, God, it would be great if you did this. It'd be great if these things are gone, and you should be able to pray about those things. But not my will, yours be done. Hey, show me you. And so God's attitude and mine, we looked at last week, and your attitude, or 2 weeks ago, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. How many of you have an attitude? We got everybody admitting it for the most part, right? We all have attitude. And he puts it in perspective, goes, your attitude ought to be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, didn't consider godliness something to be grasped onto. Do you know who I am? Do you imagine him? First of all, he wouldn't have been on the cross if that was his attitude. But let's say he allowed it to get to that point, and then he's up here and he's like, listen up, hook nose. All y'all are going down. Wait till my dad hears about this. No, I mean, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross, to pay your price, to pay my price. Over and over again, I have proven that I need him to pay for me. And he did it once. And I got to remember that. Something that Leslie's talking about on this salvation, this righteousness, it's been given to us, imputed, like we have that. And now it's about remembering that. And so today we're going to talk about how God's ability and strength is so much different than ours. And next week, as we finish up this series of big butts in the Bible, we're going to talk about God's unbelievable faithfulness. But as it is, we're going to go straight to the Psalms. I am troubled about this world. I'm troubled about my own attitude, my own heart. I wish it was just about a parking lot situation, like Pastor John's. But it's simple stuff, right? That exposes how desperately we need God and his strength. The weakness of this world is like very, very real to me because I've got this weakness in me. And I don't like it. As a matter of fact, I really despise being weak, and not just physically weak. At the age of 51, I've seen my strength physically diminish so much. Car accident in September, messed up knee in April, and all kinds of laziness in between. I've had adult children that have said, yeah, good job raising us. We're making our choices now. That's hard. Because sometimes those choices aren't what Daddy would choose, nor what I think our Heavenly Father would have them choose, but they get to. And I've been drawn more and more to the strength of God in my heavily exposed weaknesses. So there's this guy, Asaph, and I think he wrote 8 to 12 Psalms. It kind of goes back and forth a little bit. I'm pretty sure 8's for sure. But he writes this thing in Psalm 73, and I'll have you join me there, that kind of helps us with this idea of God's strength being different than ours. He's like, look, God's real good, he starts out this psalm. But as for me, I almost lost my way. My foot was about to slip. I saw all kinds of jacked up things happening in the world, and I started to get envious that people who don't even follow God seem to have no problems. Anybody feel that with Asaph? They look around and go, man, the world seems to be doing, I mean, I would say personally, the world looks like it's on fire, because it is. But you see people who don't follow God, and they're fine, seemingly. And he's like, I was totally gonna like tell people how messed up God is and how messed up it is to follow God until I went and worshiped. So he actually whined and complained out loud to God while he was in church. And that's where he found the strength of God. And we're gonna pick that up in Psalm 73. Verse 21, and I'm going to read through 28. You only have 26 on the screen. Please join me there. Psalm 73. Psalms are so good. It's lament, it's worship, it's praise, it's prayer, it's crying out, it's doubting, it's all kinds of you and me. So when my soul was embittered, just let that sit for a second, an embittered soul. You're not just having a bad day. You're feeling bitterness deep in who you are. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you. This is confession. I was a jacked up mess. I was like an animal before you, God. Nevertheless, which could be a but that's not the one we're going to get today. But nevertheless, I am continually with you. Look, I don't feel it, but I'm always with you. Good reminder. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you'll receive me to glory. Look, you guide me now with your counsel, and that leads me through this place, and afterward you'll receive me in glory. I get to be with you in heaven. How many of you are looking forward to heaven? How many of you know you have to die to get there? Some of you are like, yeah, bring it on. Let's go. But some of you, you might think that heaven is your salvation. That's where your Savior lives for you uninhibited, but he actually lives inside of you right now. Amen. Jesus is your Savior. And so he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Lord, let that be real for us. I think Asaph wrote that and believed that and probably had to come back to that. And I'm saying to you this morning, you probably have to come back to that over and over again. Whom have I in heaven but you? And whom do I desire besides you? I could think about 58 different things I desire besides Jesus on a fairly regular moment. And I have to keep coming back. And I get to keep coming back. And he's very consistent with that. Now he confesses again, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Listen to 27 and 28. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who's unfaithful to you. Not just once, but like this lifestyle, right? This is the unforgivable, the unpardonable sin where you say to God, nah, and you live that way. And you don't want him, and you die that way, you will be separated. I love this. He starts with the but, and he ends with the but. But for me, it's good to be near God. I've made the Lord God my refuge, that I might tell of all your works. We'll be able to tell of all of his works for eternity, but right here, right now, this is the only place we'll be able to tell of God's works to people who don't know him yet. And it's going to take hardship and trusting him and believing that God is the strength. So in this time of weakness, this time of pain, this time of agony, this time of, where are you, God? But God is your strength. We need to recognize that weakness is a time where God's strength is perfected. And we'll get to that in just a second. But I have a question for you this morning, friends. Please hear it. It's going to be on the screen, but I really want you to hear it. What's stronger in your life? God or something or somebody else? We've read about Joseph. He was given this ability to translate and interpret and even have dreams. He gets taken out of prison to give an interpretation of a dream. And they said, well, we heard you could give it. And he goes, it only comes from God. Daniel, same thing. Daniel had it even harder, if you ask me. Daniel didn't get to be told the dream. He had to actually tell the king his dream without knowing what the dream was and interpret it. But before he did all that, he's like, oh no, man, God gave us this. God is the strength. How about Peter? Peter, just kind of this fisherman, kind of a dude's dude, kind of a big mouth. He sees Jesus walking on the water. And he's like, once they got past the oh no moment, he's like, if that's you, will you tell me to come out and walk with you? And Jesus goes, come on, Pete. Only God can make that happen. One other time, Peter hears this teaching where Jesus says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, I can tell you right now, unmistakably, Jesus, a very observant Jew, a rabbi, wasn't saying, hey, y'all, you need to be cannibals. If this thing's going to work, you got to get weird and freaky and eat flesh and drink blood. But he's saying, look, I'm it for you. And everybody bounced. But Peter and his 11 homies are sitting there, and they're just kind of looking around. And Jesus goes, what about you guys? Are you going to leave too? I mean, it's getting weird now, right? It's getting hard. It's no longer like everybody loves Jesus. They're starting to go, he's different. He's weird. Are you guys going to leave? Jesus says. And he goes, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. Sometimes you got to recognize that God's awesome and he's God when your circumstances are terrible. And the world looks like, nah, where's God? You're like, he's real. He's good. But I ask you, what's stronger in your life? The fact that God is good and he's always good, or that your bad is bad and it's getting worse? For me, I've understood something about problems in my life. They become what's called a stronghold. They hang on to you. It's where you actually feel like you're bound up and you can't get out of it. Now, a stronghold is supposed to be a good thing in war. You just get there and you hang on and nothing can really get at you. But I don't know about you, but addictions and pain and worry and frustration and doubt can really be a stronghold in my own life. Maybe it can be in yours. Maybe I'm just weak and just admitting it. But I have to remember that there's something greater than those strongholds. And it's God being my stronghold. And I have to confess that. And so I go back to a psalm over and over again, honestly weekly, and I'll share it weekly. It's Psalm 18. I'd love to read the whole thing for you, but I'm only going to read the first three verses. But this is so helpful for me, and I thought I would share it with you as an answer to what's stronger in your life, God or other things. David's writing this after he's been delivered from all of his enemies. Listen to this. He says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. You guys, it's spilling off of his tongue. He can't think of enough things to say about how rad God is, how strong he is. He's actually my strength, he says right off the bat. He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I have people in my life that suffer significantly with fear, doubt, depression, and anxiety. I struggle with those things, but not to the point where it's incapacitating on a regular basis. One of the people in my life that struggles with that is fighting to say, God is my stronghold, not anxiety, not depression. She's not pretending. She's not clicking her heels three times thinking it'll come true if she just says it enough. She's trying to remind herself of what's true. Anybody else need that? The reminder? Today's message hopefully will be that for you and you take it on. But he says, look, he's my shield. He protects me. He's a horn. He's the power of my salvation. He's my stronghold. Listen to this. I call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. And I'm saved from my enemies. What greater enemies do we have than sin and death? And Jesus defeated both of those. Both of them. Psalm 23 is another one. Boy, you set a table for me in the presence of my enemies, Lord. What? A table? There's lunch to be had in a battle? Yeah, there's rest. There's fellowship with God. He's not like, oh my goodness, bombs bursting in air. He's all good. All the time. And he calls us to rest in that. I'm going to go to a guy named Paul to end this message. Many of you already know who he is, and you probably already know where I'm going with this. We went through the book of 2 Corinthians this week in reading through the scriptures. If you don't have that, get on our app. There's a reading plan, and it's rad, and it prepares you for some of what we're going to be talking about. But Paul's writing to these people in Corinth and he's saying, look, you think I'm a weenie. You think I'm weak. You don't even know the half. Weakness is actually something that I don't fear anymore. I could come and be a chump to all of you, and I hope I don't have to do that when I come back, he says. But you want me to brag? I'm going to brag about weakness. So check this out, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, and it was a thorn in his flesh. It was a problem that he had. It was a messenger from Satan, he says. Now, That must have really, Jane, pardon me, that must have really sucked. That must have been a massive problem if he calls it a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. Look, this is so jacked up, it's got to be from the devil. And I pleaded, I asked three times for the Lord to take it away from me. Some of you are like, three times? I do that three times a minute. I ask God, like, please, please, please take it away. I asked that it should leave me three times, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I'll boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Just about covers every bad thing that can happen. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Listen, Tony Evans is one of my favorite teachers. And he says, if it wasn't for weaknesses, you wouldn't go to God for strength. Right? I mean, it just seems to make sense. He talks about when he has a massive headache, he gets some significant medicine. And the power of the medicine comes through because of the weakness of his body. We often want calamities and weaknesses to leave. And so we do whatever we can. Well, God's not helping. Maybe drugs will. Hey, God's not helping. Maybe he will. God doesn't seem to be coming through. Maybe Satan will. I mean, I'm not going to worship Satan, but I'm just not going to honor God. So I'm just going to go for it. And what will become for you a stronghold would be being comfortable. Being strong. People are reaching out on a really consistent basis right now for help. But their patience is really, really small. They want help now. I'm here to tell you, I don't have the timing. God hasn't given me any dates, and I'm not a dude to do that. But I don't think our world gets better from here on out, you guys. We may have windows, but it is not looking good. And Jesus said there'd be days like this. Listen, God alone has sufficient grace and perfect power. We will not recognize that if we keep going away from him for help. That isn't help at all. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but in the end, it leads to death. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. How would you like to be a person like Paul who says, you kill me, I get to be with God, uninhibited. No more distractions. You let me live, then I'm going to just gospel up this whole place. Hey, put me in prison. I'll preach to them. Let me be free. I'll go wherever I want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Who gives us the strength? Him. Not your mama, not your wife, not your kids, not your husband. God may use them at times to encourage you and to uplift you. But look, admitting our weakness and dependence on Jesus is strength. I've had so many people say, I don't get how you're a pastor. I'm like, word. Now you know. It's Jesus. I don't get to take pride in my strength. I get to take pride in his. I have some questions for you to get after. And we'll have them up on the screen for you. But I need you to know that these don't do any good if you just try to breeze through them. And they certainly don't do any good if you don't read them. We're trying to give you a chance to like chew on this and go beyond today with it. Some of the most significant questions in my life I haven't written down. They're just in me, right? And I can bring them to God. And I want to encourage you to bring them to God. I want you to know that what God doesn't give Paul is an explanation. He gave him a promise. What's more important for you, that you could figure it all out? Because it's a piece that passes understanding. Now wait for it, friends, because that means you're not going to quite understand it. You're just going to get to experience it. You're going to have to be like Peter getting out of the boat. How did he know he could walk on the water? Well, God called him to, and Jesus modeled it for him, but he had to try, right? And then he sunk, and Jesus didn't say, suck eggs, bro, down. No, he pulled him up. He's gracious. But we've got to stop trying to have it all figured out and be super strong. In our weakness, his strength is perfected. You don't have to try to be weak. You already are. I already am. But praise God My stronghold isn't my weakness, it's my Jesus. That's for all of us if we want him. Father, we love you and praise you, and we thank you that nothing can take us out of your righteous right hand. Nothing separates us from your love. May we not just believe that, may we live that. May we trust you. May we believe you. May we make you known. May we boast in the things that make you look amazing and us look like we desperately need you. Because we really do. I thank you for being the strength of our lives. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, I wanted to remind you as you go, confession is admitting something that's already happened. Okay? So confess that God is God and that you desperately need him. That's already true. Confess that you've done things that have messed things up. He already knows and he's ready for you to just confess that and get it all out. Feels so much better. And confess that he's your strength and confess that he's worthy and lament some things and whine and complain. All those things are okay. But at the end of all of it, like Asaph, like Paul, like David, it's Jesus. And nobody can take him from you. God bless you. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. I'll see you later.